Would you like to come and stall it?
Ah, will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher. I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
You sound good. Right. Joe McGuckin.
Yo.
I'd like to formally announce we're recording.
Welcome to another bonus episode of the Stall It podcast. And Darren is MIA again this week, I'm sorry to say. We'll have to start calling these episodes the Jonas episodes. Do you like that, Ed?
Or explain that to me now.
Instead of bonus, it's Jonas.
That's like one of the Jonas Brothers
reference.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yours work.
And today we have Nick Jonas with us.
Nick, how are you? Thanks for coming in. Sure thing, guys. That's how Nick Jonas sounds?
That's exactly how Nick Jonas.
Hey, I'm Nick Jonas over here.
Yeah, yeah. He smokes a cigar.
Me and the brothers are going to sing some songs.
Wears a striped suit.
Yeah. And is a 1930s gangster, by all accounts. And that's unproven.
Wait a second. That's not Nick Jonas. That's Noel Kelly.
Anyway, we do have... We may not have Darren, but we do have, thankfully, listeners sending in questions. Starting off with this, with a throwback, as they say, to a previous topic. Howie, lads, was really enjoying the tattoo chat. And as someone who's always been fascinated with tattoos and tattoos culture, I thought of a little game. I'm going to list a few common prison tattoos, like the teardrop, and you have to guess what they mean.
Ooh.
This is good.
Interesting.
Cobweb on the elbow. Joe, what do you think that means?
Cobweb on the elbow.
Mm.
Cobweb's got something got to do with spiders. Spiders are... That you've sucked someone's blood.
Easy now.
It is prison, man.
These things happen.
It's got to be... That's a prison tattoo as well. Are these all prison tattoos?
They're all prison tattoos and they have significance and meaning behind them. And this person has gone to the troubles. They didn't leave their name, but they've gone to the trouble of finding out what they mean. But you're going to have to guess. So a cobweb on the elbow, what would you guess if you walked into your, how would I say, your ensuite in Mountjoy?
Jesus Christ.
And there they were, and they sit up and they've got a cobweb on their elbow. What are you thinking?
I'd say that man has killed more than 8 people.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
No.
Oh.
It signifies that your new roommate is doing or has done a long prison sentence. I suppose it means that they're there for so long. Is it that the cobweb has developed?
That the webs just keep getting bigger and bigger?
That they're, maybe a web of lies that they spun. But anyway, I think it's more like they've been there for so long, they've developed cobwebs.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what I'm reading.
Getting dusty in the corner.
Exactly. I'm not going to argue with them. Would you? No. You would you? Would you be a difficult prison?
If it was like
prison.
I'd actually love to have a conversation with one behind the glass and know that they weren't getting out for a long time.
But would you? How do you think you'd be if you to share a prison cell with somebody for some years? Would you be a difficult?
I'd be a really good chef or something. Like I'd make good hooch, and that would be my. And I'd make them laugh. I'd try and make them laugh.
Make them laugh. Tattoo number 2, 1488.
Oh. 1488.
1488. What's the significance of this? I see the answer here, but I'm just trying to work it out.
Sounds like a year. 1488. It's got to be like a police code. That's a 1488. Somebody that's run someone over or commit manslaughter or.
So you're going to go with? Oh, here we go. Oh yes. 1488. 14 words, and the 8th letter of the alphabet. Combined, this creates a powerful symbol for white supremacists.
Oh.
It's a numeric code that combines 2 separate hate slogans, often associated with the initials SS, a swastika, or other extreme imagery. So the 14 words, a white supremacist slogan coined by David Eden Lane, a domestic terrorist. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. 14 words. And then 88 stands for Heil Hitler. 8 and 8, H and H. Wow, Jesus Christ.
It's so hidden though, isn't it? It's
very
like, obscure. I think it's kind of nice.
It's almost too subtle. You wouldn't expect such subtlety from a white Aryan supremacist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's too easy to hide that. He could be around a bunch of black people and they wouldn't have a clue what it means.
Would you not want, if you're that proud, why make it so, why hide it so so readily?
That's why I think it's kind of nice of them. Like, I have these racist viewpoints, but you know, I don't want to flaunt them.
Yeah, look.
I just want the people that matter to know.
There we go.
In their opinion.
So the final one, barbed wire.
How do these have any meaning? Nothing.
Barbed wire, usually people on life sentences, they add a barb every year they serve. And a quick fact, while not too common in Europe, fairly common in America and Russia is where prison tattoos have the most meaning, usually signifying gang rank, etc., and taken very seriously. If you tattoo that signifies a rank that you didn't earn in a Russian prison, it is often blacked out or cut out, literally, by the inmates. Jesus Christ, it's hard. I'd be so shit in prison. I wouldn't last them taking my clothes off and putting me into the jumpsuit. I'd be dead in between. Something would happen to me where I'd be gone.
I just think you could worry about it. I feel like if I got locked up and I came out, I'd go to a tattoo shop and then just get like a really long barbed wire with a cobweb and with 1480, with all of them. They'd say he is fucking bad.
But if you had them positioned in different places and somebody walks in, you could cut your cloth, like roll up that sleeve and go.
Yeah.
Or the barbed wire and then the cobweb. I'm here ages as well.
Like in Ireland, isn't it the swallow on the hand?
Yeah, that's in between the thumb and the index.
But that's so gentle. Like when you compare it, it's like, I've been to jail, but it's only Mountjoy Prison and I've only done like a year and a half.
It makes it good all behavior. The more chilling though. And it's like the teardrop. It's like a little vulnerability in your absolute, you've murdered 18
absolute
people.
Psycho. And the dots on the knuckles as well. You know the dots on the knuckles?
No.
I think it means fuck the Garda.
In Morse.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Parky in Leash. Hello, lads. Can you help me write five... What? No, sorry. Parky in Leash. Hey, fellas. Enjoyed your chit-chat with Calvin last week, Joe. It got me to thinking. Which celebrity would you have narrating your internal monologue? Oh, that's a good one.
Oh.
Parky in Leash. Who would be, which celebrity, actor maybe, Hollywood actor, or otherwise, who is narrating your internal monologue?
I kind of feel
ideally.
Like Louis Theroux.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Like when I go into a coffee shop, he's like, oh, he's entering the coffee shop now.
So you go Louis Theroux?
I think so, yeah. I think it'd be kind of foolishly documented, like a documentary style. That's kind of what I think is actually in my head. If I'm not thinking anything.
Do you view the world in a Theroux-esque manner, do you think?
I'm just constantly in a montage, Louis Theroux montage.
Okay, brilliant. So we're going for
the life of a podcaster.
Yeah.
And this is the podcast lunch.
Potosphere.
Boring, but that's in the head.
Good, good. Thank you very much for that, Parky and Leash. Oh, Richie and Glasnevin. This is very Joe. Actually, this is very Joe. So
oh, shit.
Buckle your brain up, my friend. Hello, boys. If you could see alternative versions of your lives in different dimensions, would you want to, first of all? And if so, is there any particular decision you've made that you'd like to see the other outcome of? Richie Glasnevin, dear God.
I don't know how familiar you are with the previous episodes of the Stala podcast, but I did mention that there was a lot of people that were involved in drugs around my area growing up.
Yeah.
And I could have very easily been pulled into that because I just wanted to impress anyone who was around me. But nobody ever asked me. I was like the only person in my area that wasn't asked to hold on to drugs or bring drugs somewhere or something like that. And I was
did
like,
did you take it personally?
Yeah, kind of. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? The fuck is wrong with me? I feel like I would have been really good at it as well.
Were you hanging around like street corners going, just my big pockets?
Yeah, I've got nothing in my pockets.
Look at these cargo trousers. I've got actually 8 pockets at last count. And I'm really fast.
Like they always give the drugs to the most suspicious people. Like I thought I was, hey, let's give it to the geek, man. Why not give it to the geek?
There you go.
The little skateboard dude. He'd be great at it.
And your getaway with the skates.
And on the skates, me little Heelys. Mm. They'll never catch me, Kappa.
Oh my God, did you have Heelys?
No, I didn't. I wish, man. I wish I had Heelys now.
God. So is there any dimension that you'd like to... Would you check it as if you had the ability or someone offered you the chance to go, look, we've infinite numbers of existences. Do you want to have a,
I wanna see,
have a browse?
I want to see the universe where a drug dealer actually takes me under his wing and grooms me.
Right.
And I get involved in that. I feel like I'd be a kingpin now.
How would you... You would have thrived.
I would have rose the ranks to the top and you'd be like, ah, Joe. And then I'd be killing people and shit. Be mad.
Elbow but covered in cobwebs?
No, I wouldn't get caught, man.
No. Oh. I don't think so. Oh my God, Joe.
I don't think so.
So that's the decision you'd like, your decision or their decision not to pick you up as a drug mule, as a child, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
That you would see, like, what if someone had just taken a chance on you? This little scrappy underdog.
Yes.
Just hanging around and someone has just gone, hey, that kid's got something.
Yes.
Oh, I'm using that voice again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's loads of decisions that you make throughout your life that you'd love to say, oh, if I had said yes to that, I wonder where I'd be now.
Was there any acting roles that you almost got or kind of you turned down or kind of second guessed yourself on that you think about and keeps you?
There's definitely roles that I've gone for.
Yeah.
That I don't know if I had have landed them, would that have changed my life?
Any in particular you want to?
There was one where I was in...
What is it?
It was like, it was me being a junkie. Even as a child, I was being like, okay, let's get the junkie child.
There's a theme.
And I wonder what, I can't remember what that was. I don't even know what it was for. It was probably Love, Hate or something like that. I was like, oh God, if I got that, it could have fucking changed my life.
Yeah.
But then maybe not. I don't know. No, I mean, I don't know. If I hadn't have went to Burger King the night I met Moira, wow. If I had went to McDonald's instead.
Sliding doors.
Imagine what it would have been like. Mm. It's crazy. But maybe it was meant to be, because I was a waiter in a Taste of Dublin. Mm. And I was in the VIP area and I was waiting tables. Every table, like going around, whatever, canapes and champagne or whatever. And she says that she was there.
Moira was
one of the evenings. So I must have given Moira a glass of champagne or a canapé or she turned it down. But there must have been like that moment where we just kind of passed each other.
This is before the Burger King.
This was years before.
Years before.
King. Years before, yeah. Yeah.
And what happened in Burger King? We just got to chatting.
I said, oh, yeah, what are you doing here? Because she's posh, the kind of posh voice. I said, what are you doing here? Girl, like you on the north side and everything. Yeah. Like, what are you playing at? She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, it's like, yeah, out of in a completely different class system than me. Like, do you know what I mean? What are you doing talking to me or whatever? And then she's like, I actually have two kids. And then I says, oh, well, you look well for having two kids. And then we got to chatting a little bit more. And then she said, actually, I don't have two kids. And then I'm like, well, you don't look that well for not having two kids.
Oh. Would you like to? And look at you now, two kids.
Two kids.
Jesus, that's beautiful in a weird way.
Isn't it?
It is. Gorgeous, yeah.
But yeah, I wonder, like, if I had went to McDonald's that night, what my life would be.
Always go with the Whopper.
Yes.
It's the better burger. Hello, Darren and Joe and Owen. Only one of those are here, I'm afraid. Trish in Galway. What's the pure laziest thing you do on the daily that has just become part of your life? For example, I have begun brushing my teeth whilst I'm doing my pre-bed piss to save time. Trish. So she's having her pee and then she's brushing her teeth at the same time.
I feel like it's probably not as risky for a woman to do that. I'm sitting down anyway.
I've also given up using bowls and plates. I will put fruit into the yogurt tub and eat them there and then. So look, you know, so they open up the Greek yogurt, put the fruit in and then spoon them out. And then when she's done, she just puts it back in the fridge.
That's very middle class, that.
And will pretty much eat my takeaway out of the containers.
Why not?
Tell me I'm not alone. Trish in Galway. I have done the toothbrushing and pissing thing.
Have you?
Mm.
No.
Yeah. You've done two jobs.
I think you need two hands. You need one for holding, one for stretching
the
trousers.
Don't get the two mixed up, but maybe you're naked.
Oh, shit.
Come on now.
That's even more disgusting.
Is it?
And in the shower. You do it all.
And I'm in the kitchen, eating yogurt. Is there anything that's so lazy that, like, it's just, if anyone knew that you'd be slightly embarrassed?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like everything that I do is kind of lazy, but not intentionally.
Mm.
I'm always looking for the shortest route to complete any task. lazy. Let me think.
Trying to think.
I've never opened my laces since I bought these runners. Like, I just kick my shoes off and then slide them back in.
Slide them back in, yeah.
Everyone does that though, yeah?
I suppose so, yeah. I think everyone has a little bit of laziness in them though, that they just kind of like, but I have definitely, I'm on that. Trish, you're not alone, I would say. I don't sit down when I piss though, on the toilet. But I have stood, pissed and brushed my teeth at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm. And I've also brushed my teeth with mouthwash to combine the toothpaste and mouthwash in one. It's like, you know, two-in-one conditioner or shampoo. I'll do it all instead of just having to bloody do it afterwards or before.
That would make me sick. That make me very, very sick.
But the laziness of it, yeah, I wouldn't. Now, final question in. Fair play, you're doing well, Joe, for running solo on this with some mad questions. This comes in from Jonathan Daly in Lusk.
JD.
Lusk. Joe, please tell me you've noticed this. Whenever I'm driving down the M50, I will inevitably see a single solitary shoe lying on the side of the road. Oh, yes. Just one, never a pair. How does this happen? I've also noticed a proliferation of single shoes on the streets around Dublin. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Jeez, JD.
Gee. What's happening, you think? JD and Lusk. Single shoe syndrome. Is there something to be conspiracied about this?
Oh.
Do you think? Are people being sucked up into the alien ether and just one shoe remains?
I think maybe they're selling drugs on the M50.
That's what it is. Not you, though.
No, not me.
Could have been you, Joe.
But it's like, you know, when they tie the laces of the shoes and throw it over a wire.
I'd love to see someone doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they must miss.
A few times.
Yeah. Like, you'd love to walk around a corner and someone goes, ah, fuck. What are you doing?
I'd love that, man.
I'm trying to sell drugs in this around this general. How does it work? So that's a signifier that there's drugs on sale near. Is there a radius around those runners, or is it?
Yeah, it's like a 3 kilometre radius either way, specifically from where the
is
Air Max
like Google Maps. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then is it like, it's quite vague though, isn't it?
I mean, it's a signal to the guards. Like, this is basically saying this is where drugs are sold. Like, that, it's not hidden. It's,
you have,
like,
to stand directly underneath them and just go.
It's like drug mistletoe, you know? If you stand underneath it for long enough, someone's going to come over and kiss you.
Like, Skaggletoe.
Like, ooh. Ooh. I'm nervous.
Oh, beautiful. Jonathan Daly, I don't know. I have noticed a lot more single shoes aligned, and it does concern me. I think something's gone wrong there. Obviously, something's gone wrong, but why just one?
Is there many bike accidents? I feel like if you crashed off your bike, you'd lose a shoe.
Would you not pick it up? In what circumstances are you when you just, I'll just leave it and hobble on?
Well, to be honest, I haven't seen it.
Have you not? No, I've
done. So I think maybe it's a Jonathan thing.
Maybe Jonathan, yeah.
And what's he saying? He's saying that he's seeing more shoes around the inner.
Single shoes, specifically he's mentioned the M50. And then around his streets, I'm assuming around Lusk wouldn't be. Lusk could be fairly leafy, would it?
They're a little bit sandals.
Yeah. Oh.
They're a bit Birkenstocks. They don't have shoes there.
Birkenstocks. Or one of those boat shoes, those dubs.
Oh, yeah.
They have a lot of dubs.
Yeah.
There you go, Jonathan. We've absolutely shed no light on that.
But we have cracked
drogue mistletoe.
We have.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Isn't it lovely?
Joe, great work.
Thank you for sending your questions. And if you have any other questions, send them at thestaller@goloudnow.com. And please God, Darren will be with us for the next one.
He will.
He will. There you go. You hear the hair first. Breaking. And we'll be coming back at you with the moon landing, the finale of the moon landing.
It's finally landing.
We'll get there. We will get there. Don't you worry, you little moony head. You little moon head. Well, talk to you later. Take care. Hope he's like that.